Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, August 27th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Wyoming's primary election results are official. That's after the State Canvassing Board certified county reports yesterday. Governor Mark Gordon asked the director of the state's election division if he was aware of federal officials in Laramie County sent to observe the primary. Gordon said other officials, like the state attorney general and some county clerks, were unaware of their presence.
I'm not saying anything went wrong or anything else, and I certainly think the conduct of this election was phenomenal. I just want to make sure, I feel very strongly about federal government coming in and taking our guns. I don't like that, and I don't like the federal government coming in and taking our votes either.
Secretary of State Chuck Gray said Wyoming's U.S. attorney had a press release alerting states to Department of Justice observers and that state law allows for the public to participate in observing elections. The Jackson Hole Economic Policy Symposium kicks off today at Jackson Lake Lodge. The Wall Street Journal calls it Lollapalooza for economists. The annual meetup of global bankers and financiers will feature a speech on Friday from the new Federal Reserve Chairman, Kevin Warsh. He is expected to address concerns about inflation as well as bigger questions about productivity and demographics. Bloomberg News is calling it a high-stakes test for the new leader after President Trump clashed with the previous chair, Jerome Powell. Small business owners in Jackson told Marketplace they'd like to be considered as part of the conversations about the global economy. The symposium has been held there since 1982. It's National Parks Week, and the National Park Service celebrated its 110th birthday on Tuesday. As Congress prepares to return from its August recess, park advocates are asking for more funding. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
The list of repairs needed at parks to address crumbling roads or outdated water systems is getting longer. The fixes would cost more than $24 billion, according to the agency. But a fund for these repairs expired last year. Tiernan Sittenfeld is the CEO of the National Parks Conservation Association. She says there's bipartisan support in Congress behind a bill to revive it and address overdue maintenance.
Things like trails and restrooms to really improve and enhance our parks for now and for the future. And so we're very eager to see that bill can pass as swiftly as possible this fall.
Sittenfeld was in Rocky Mountain National Park on the Park Service's birthday, rallying support. So far, the maintenance bill has passed House and Senate committees. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Upper Snake River system up by Jackson has dropped to near record-breaking low water levels. KHOL's Jenna McMurtry reports there are already some consequences for the watershed and its chain of 9 reservoirs.
If the Jackson Lake Dam hits 0% capacity, there will still be a sizable lake since one existed before the reservoir. So that means water recreators won't lose out on all the summer fun, even as the drought is forecasted to last through fall. Here's Rendezvous River Sports owner Aaron Prusin.
I would see no reason why we'd need to end our season early. The Snake River at low water levels still provides an amazing experience.
But low water levels could spell trouble for downstream dams. Brian Stevens manages the reservoir system with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. He says without enough water, the Palisades Dam near Alpine can't generate power.
Yeah, I think the chance is less than 50% chance that it happens.
He'll have a better idea of how dire the situation gets by mid-September. More rain in the region could ease irrigation needs in Idaho and help slow down the dam releases. For KHOL News, I'm Jenna McMurtry.
And a reminder, snowmobilers who want to get a permit to ride in Yellowstone National Park can throw their names into the hat for the lottery that started earlier this month and is open until next Monday. Those who are successful will be notified in early September. Applications cost $40 a day plus a $6 application fee. The permit gives non-commercial riders a 3-day window during the upcoming winter, Group sizes limited to 5 people. Sign up at recreation.gov. And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Jackson recently played host to an unusual set of runners. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports the 420-mile salt and sulfur journey run passed through from Salt Lake City to West Yellowstone. Runners are encouraged to run uncrewed, without a support vehicle that meets them along the way to provide food, water, a place to sleep, and more. Instead, runners have to find their own supplies in towns. This year, they had to contend with challenges like drought, wildfire smoke, and cattle grazing on course. An Aetna veteran is hoping to take to the skies again in just a few years. The Newcastle Newsletter Journal reports retired U.S. Air Force Major Robert Bob Harshbarger was bit by the flying bug when he was in the service in his 20s. At 97, he only stopped flying his Navion, nicknamed Bumblebee, a couple of years ago. But he hopes to take Bumblebee out one more time for his 100th birthday. Trees at the VA Medical Center in Cheyenne are going to get some sprucing up next month. This is the first time the nationwide Saluting Branches Day of Service will be there on September 12th. As a tangible thank you to veterans, the day provides free tree care to create a safer, healthier, and more welcoming environment. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question. What was the Sundance Kid's real name? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll be sure to give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what Wyoming Speaker of the House was named to the legislature after his first election contest had to be determined by a very old-fashioned tiebreaker? Randall Luthy, whose 1994 election was settled when his and his opponent's names were placed in the battered cowboy hat of then-Governor Mike Sullivan during a meeting of the State Canvassing Board. The board concluded that it was the only equitable way to settle a race in which both candidates received exactly 1,041 votes. Luthy went on to serve in the House until 2007, and his last 2 years were as Speaker. Congratulations to Melissa Mead, the first person to offer up the right answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.